Well, as you can tell, we had a great week here at Vacation Bible School. About half of our children were able to be here this morning. We had over 80, I think about 90 that were here this week, participating in all of the incredible activities, music, songs, stories, all the things that were a part of their experience this week. One of the things that is so incredible about what happens during Vacation Bible School is that children have the opportunity to experience these stories and the lessons in these stories in a wide variety of ways. They don't just read the stories or hear the stories, though that's an important part of the way we pass on these traditions, but they embody them. They become tactile and real for them. We know from stacks and stacks of research in education and pedagogy that when students either read or hear words spoken, they learn at a certain level. But it's when they have an opportunity to experience those words in other ways, either with a different sense or in some other experience, that their learning is both deeper and they remember those lessons longer. We know, for example, that when we take words and we simply set them to music and sing them rather than say them, that they find their way into a deeper part of our mind and our spirit, right? Right, choir? That's part of the reason why St. Augustine once allegedly said, when we sing, we pray twice. Meaning that in the singing, there's something deeper that happens in our spirit with those words, with those feelings of expression. And so this week, we had a number of lessons, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a few minutes. And the children had the opportunity to dance those lessons. They had an opportunity to connect them to wacky science experiments and crafts that they took home every day, and all of that in this admittedly rather curious setting of a spaceship, taking them to Mars and beyond with Captain Pam, our mission commander, Pam Armstrong, our children's ministry director. A couple of months ago, when I was planning worship for today, knowing that a number of families would be here celebrating Vacation Bible School, and it's Father's Day, and there are a number of things that are a part of what this day is about, I began thinking about a scripture text that would accompany the lesson today, and almost immediately was drawn to this text from Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, which in chapter 3 ends with a prayer, which are the scriptures 14 through 21 that we'll hear in just a moment. Unbeknownst to me, truly, the Vacation Bible School lesson for this past week came from that very same passage. Although I didn't pick up on that right away, I confess. The little robot that accompanied the children this week, if you can see him up here, is called EP320. Which on Monday and Tuesday just seemed like a good generic robot name to me. It wasn't, I confess, until Wednesday that I realized EP320 was Ephesians 3:20. So apparently in answer to the age-old question, are you smarter than a fifth grader? The answer for me is maybe, sometimes. It took me a little while, but I finally got it. But this is such a great passage to talk about what it means to experience and to receive and to pass on the life of faith. And in part, as the children did, even in the song that they shared just a few minutes ago, to do it in a way that they can embody it and enact it. And therefore, we hope and pray and know that it will dwell within them at a deeper place. And although this is a scripture text that I've turned to again and again throughout the course of my life and ministry, it was this week, reading and studying the text in the context of Vacation Bible School, that I realized that the Apostle Paul, some 2,000 years ago, was actually writing a passage that had embedded in it dance choreography. It's true. Paul intended there to be a choreographed set of moves to this scripture passage today that you just heard the choir sing, And so I thought, although I am admittedly a terrible dancer, that I would try to give you a sense of how Paul might have intended this scripture lesson to have been experienced when it was first proclaimed to the church in Ephesus. And so Paul, in chapter 3, verse 14, begins like this. "For this reason," Paul writes, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all that we could ask or even imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words, the motions of my heart and body, the meditations of our minds be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer, and let all God's people say, amen. Amen. And so it was with that sense of embodying, expressing, experiencing the gospel lessons this week that we hope children are able to take them in and take them with them as they go back into their families, their homes, their neighborhoods, to Mars and beyond this week. Our week was structured around five lessons, and each of the lessons had a little special fuel cell that you see behind me up here on the chancel. On day one, we heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den and how Daniel was faithful to God in spite of the threat. And in fact, he was put in the lion's den and saved. It was a lesson about faith. On Tuesday, we heard the story of Queen Esther and how she risked her life to stand up for her people because she was bold with her faith. We learned the lesson of boldness. On Wednesday, we turned to the New Testament and we had the story of Jesus answering the question, "Who is my neighbor?" by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that lesson, we had the opportunity to experience some of what the Good Samaritan story is about, including kindness, that the Samaritan expressed kindness to the one who had been beaten and left on the side of the road. On Thursday, it was Jesus' experience encountering 10 lepers and sending them away with healing. And one, just one of the 10, comes back to express gratitude to Jesus in a lesson about thankfulness and the power of thankfulness and gratitude in our lives. And then on Friday, we had a lesson about the two disciples who were walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus after Jesus had been killed, not realizing that the stranger who accompanied them on that journey was in fact Jesus, until they welcomed him into their home and broke bread together. They realized that it was Jesus among them, and that gave them hope to know that Jesus had been walking with them the whole way. Wonderful, profound lessons for children and for adults that we experienced this week. But I would like to suggest that perhaps one of the most profound things that happened this week, as important as these biblical stories are, that one of the most profound things that happened was something else entirely. I've shared with this congregation before some of the research that comes out of the Fuller Theological Seminary in California's Youth Ministry Institute, which says that faith for children and youth is best passed on and carried on by children and youth. The term they use is sticky. Faith that is sticky or sticks to them. That part of the way that happens is when that faith is passed on within their families, whether biological families or adoptive families, foster families, CASA families, all the ways that we experience family in our lives. But that those lessons that are embraced and carried on are best done so when children are accompanied in their journey of faith by non-related adults. That is, other adults in their church family. Youth, young adults, older adults, people of multiple generations who also attach themselves to those kids and help them to experience in their lives, in the witness of their lives, and in the stories they tell, and in the time they spend with them, that when that happens in a community of faith, then faith really begins to stick to kids, and they carry it with them throughout the rest of their lives. And I know how important that is. I know many of you in this congregation who have adult children who were raised in this church or others, and perhaps they're in a season of their life right now where church is not that important to them, where it seems like their life of faith is not a priority for them. And I've walked that road with you. I know the challenge and pain of that experience with you. And yet, we believe, we know that those seeds that are planted in faithfulness by our parents as we celebrate things like Mother's Day and Father's Day and the power of family, but our family of faith beyond our family as well. We believe that those seeds will take root and that the faithfulness of the generations that have accompanied those children and youth and young adults will be a seed that will blossom someday. So that's part of what it means for us to gather. And as children this week experienced all of the adults that were their group leaders and that led all of those activities, that's an important way that we model what we want to be about all the time. People of all ages and stages accompanying children and youth, and let's be honest, each other as well, through this journey of faith. Because none of us are intended to make this journey on our own. As I say often, while our faith is personal, it is never meant to be private. It is best experienced in and expressed through a community of faith. And in the lesson of today, I think it's also best learned and carried on by the broadest community of faith working together. It's one of the reasons why we try to create activities and experiences and opportunities like Vacation Bible School. We have another one coming up next month. For those of you that like to camp, there's an opportunity for about 70 or 80 of us, as we had last year, or maybe 100 of us, as we have space for, to gather up at Rocky Mountain National Park at Glacier Basin Campground. It's a chance, as we saw last year, for people of all ages and stages, people who had children and people without children, singles and couples, younger and older adults. The Ralstons were there last year in their 80s, accompanying children and youth as they experienced the wonder of identifying flowers and plants and animals. And while it was a wonderful opportunity to experience God's creation, yes, it was even more powerfully an opportunity for all of us to experience across the generations what it means to receive and hand on that life of faith. Because we believe that when we do it in that context, it sticks to us, and we can carry it forward. This summer, we recognize that many of us in our families, whatever family looks like for us, take advantage of this season of the year to travel. And so we wanted to create another opportunity for you to take Jesus with you, or to put it a little more theologically correct, to recognize that Jesus is going with you, whether you recognize it or not, whether you see him or not. And so we've created an opportunity this summer to take flat Jesus on the road with you. Now, some of you know the childhood storybook from a few years ago called Flat Stanley, where there was a little two-dimensional Stanley figure that accompanies a family on their journeys. And so this year, we're going to do the same thing with flat Jesus. In your bulletin, you'll find flat Jesus. And you're all welcome to take one with you today. I want to give you a few simple words of instruction and a few examples about what it looks like for you to take flat Jesus with you this summer. First of all, you'll want to cut out flat Jesus, and then you'll probably want to color him in so that he has some attractive clothes to wear. Let's see what that looks like. Yeah, just take a minute to color in flat Jesus, and then you can either laminate flat Jesus if you have access to a laminator, or Miriam and I just use some popsicle sticks on the back and attach them. It just makes Jesus a little hardier for road travel. I mean, it is cardstock, but it's not miracle paper, right? So you can take a little bit of that with you, and then you've got a flat Jesus ready to go on the road with you. Though, a couple words of advice. One, despite the words to the wildly popular country western song, please do not let Jesus take the wheel. In your life, yes. In your car, no. That's a terrible idea. There are some advantages to taking Jesus with you on the road, however. For example, if you and your family take flat Jesus and you sit down at dinner and just begin with a few glasses of water at the table, all of a sudden you might find yourself with a beverage upgrade. So that can pay off. A couple of weeks ago, Miriam and I had a chance to get out of town for a couple of days, and we took flat Jesus with us so we could see what that was like and model it for you a little bit today. We started out by driving south down to New Mexico, where we found an old friend of Jesus, St. Francis, on the plaza. Jesus got to visit with his buddy Frank there. And then we headed up northwest out into the beautiful northern New Mexico desert. We stopped at Ghost Ranch, one of the famous Presbyterian conference centers there where Georgia O'Keeffe used to live. And Jesus took a little ride on the wagon there. And then we headed out to visit, as you all know, Miriam and I love our national park system. So we went out west and we went to Mesa Verde National Park. There's Jesus at the park entrance. And then we drove up north to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, which, interestingly enough, we learned while we were there that the preservation of this particular wilderness area, Black Canyon of the Gunnison, exists because of the advocacy of a Presbyterian minister named Mark Warner, who in the very early years of the 20th century founded the church there in Montrose, United Presbyterian Church in Montrose, and then spent his time, his meditation time, out on the canyon edge and thought, this land needs to be preserved so that people can experience God's creation like I have. And he wrote letters for years and years and years until finally state and then eventually federal officials preserved this land. So yay, Presbyterian minister Mark Warner. Actually, one of the turnoffs there for Vista at Black Canyon of the Gunnison is called Pulpit Rock. And Jesus was particularly interested in that, so he took advantage of the opportunity to be in a pulpit there on a weekday morning. But the nice thing is, for some of you, Jesus has a passport as well. And so if you're traveling internationally this summer, no worries. Jesus is able to go with you. Walt and Janet Shookman, longtime members here at First Press, are in Europe right now. They took flat Jesus with them. This is a little hard to see, but this is Jesus at a chapel in Portugal last week. So Jesus is really making his way around. And one of our church families here, the Richardsons, Kathy Richardson, our communications director, and her husband and their three boys are off this week visiting Yellowstone and Grand Tetons National Parks. And they took flat Jesus with them to see Old Faithful. Which I thought, you know, that's a sermon right in and of itself, right? Jesus with Old Faithful. So, these are a few ways that you could take flat Jesus with you on the road this summer. And yes, all of that is meant to be a little bit lighthearted and fun, but it's also meant to be a practical way that you can experience the accompaniment of Christ in your life and the power and the meaning of that for you. Yesterday, we had the opportunity, several of us, to celebrate the 100th birthday of our dear Charlotte Shannon. And as we were celebrating Charlotte's birthday yesterday, her kids had an opportunity to express some of their appreciation for her life and what she has meant to them as their mom. And I was struck by the fact that her son mentioned that one of the most important things that he had received from his mom was his faith, that he had been introduced to Jesus Christ by her, and that that had been an important part of what his relationship with her has meant over the course of his life. We are reminded again and again of the power in just simple ways, fun ways, lighthearted ways, profound ways of helping our children and youth, helping one another know the transformative power of the risen Christ in our lives. As Paul writes, that we are being rooted and grounded in love. I spent a little extra time studying the passage this week and discovered that in that introductory phrase, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name." And the Greek word there for family is unusual. It's patria, which isn't the normal word for family in the New Testament. That word's only used three times. Normally the word is genos, from which we get our term genealogy. But patria has the sense of a lineage. That word is used one other time to describe Jesus as being a part of the family of David or a descendant of David. And so the text begins with this idea about receiving faith from our extended family and our ancestors. That is, that we receive the faith from them. And then the passage ends with this idea that God is able to do abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, a powerful idea that deserves a whole sermon in and of itself. And then says, the glory in to God's glory, our lives of faith, giving God glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. And then Paul writes, for all generations, not just for us, or just for us and our neighbors, or us and our friends, or even us and our children, but for all generations, forever and ever. And so there is this sense that Paul is writing about the power of faith to strengthen us in our inner being, that the love of Christ roots and grounds us in this life of faith, giving us a solid foundation to stand on, so that we can comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that all of these things are intended to be ways in which our lives are built up and transformed as we receive the faith, the patria of our lineage, and we pass on that faith to all generations forever and ever. So that whether our children are learning about and expressing that faith at home with our families, whether they're doing that with kids around the neighborhood, whether they are traveling across the country or around the world or even to Mars and beyond, that they will know, they will truly know that love of God forever and ever. Amen.